Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the day after for me, Dumb.
Happy Tuesday, Crudy.
It's a Tuesday that feels a little bit like a Sunday morning.
Well, welcome back, man. Good to see you. Nate, work on the board, our fair audience. Happy, happy Tuesday to us all.
Dominic, I never thought I would see a Tuesday where I led the show by saying, I agree with the choker guy.
I know. What's going on in this world, Crudy?
We'll tell you in just a moment. First and foremost, got a fine guest coming up a little bit later. She is Minority Leader Melissa Agar, joining us at 4:30, and we'll ask her about this and many fine issues that I'm like justice, former justice. So is he a justice emeritus? What, do you get to keep the title? Like,
no,
if you retire.
Oh, no.
So David Prosser.
Choker.
still the choker in your mind. Rant,
man. You know what I mean? I mean, when you think of David Prosser, what do you think of?
Choking.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not, you know, trying to like pound the point, but yeah, man, that's the guy who inadvertently or put his hands on one of his colleagues' necks.
So last night in the final drive of that Packer game, when Jordan Love threw that interception, would it be accurate to say he pulled a Prosser?
Oh, he choked. Maybe. Tough game.
We'll get to that as well. Andrew Ball at the Cap Times here locally, Dom, former justice, advises Voss not to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. I can't believe they made this public, Dom. We learned a couple of things today, and we're going to share some of it with you. Impeaching Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz is not warranted. Well, that part, Dom and I sort of sensed. A conservative former justice counseled Assembly Speaker Robin Voss last week, according to records released Tuesday by a liberal watchdog group. So, when I was animately raving from my hotel room in Eau Claire yesterday, Dom, you will see probably the impeachment of Protasiewicz. Unbeknownst to me, Prosser had already given advice to contradict yours truly. And I wasn't advising Robin Voss he should do it. I just thought there's a better than likely chance he would. But anyways, former state Supreme Court Justice, the choker, as he's known around here, David Prosser, is one of three former justices on the high court advising Voss on impeachment. The identity of the other two justices is not known. Well, we think we know at least one of the others. Who is it, Dom? Who's the other one?
Oh, your pal, Pat Rogensack, right?
Former justice, Patience Rogensack to you. Yeah, just if you don't know the story, let me tell you the story. She dined just down the bar from me, and it was like a luncheon or Brewer game was on early afternoon, sort of a late lunch for me. And she was there apparently with her husband. And at some point I noticed her. I'm like, that looks awfully familiar. But, you know, you see people out of context. You don't think,
yeah, right.
Well, there's Justice Patience Rogensack. But I'll be damned if there wasn't Justice Patience Rogensack. And so anyways, I was there with a colleague from work, and she asked, she's like, are you Patience Rogensack? She's like, I am, but people call me Pat. And, you know, me being a little snarky, and I said, some people call you Justice. And Dom, I don't know if you remember, I told you this story, but I'll tell it again just in case, because I know you got those glaring holes in your short-term memory.
Oh, we got lots of new listeners as well.
Oh, yeah. And there's new people like you, some of you, that could be listening for the very first time, didn't hear this story. So anyways, I'm at one of the finer Italian joints in Middleton. I'm sitting down the bar from then. She was still on the court, Justice Patience Rogensack. I prompted my colleague to ask her, and she said, yeah, I'm Pat. And I said, you're Justice. And she said, you're Crudy. And she was behind me. I was on, you know, a bar stool eating at the bar area, sort of a late lunch, if I hadn't mentioned that. She was having some cocktails with hors d'oeuvres. She did ask if she could get the senior discount. A frugal one, this former Supreme Court justice. But anyways, now we're in conversation of sort. And I turned to her, and her husband had preceded her towards the car, didn't realize she was stopping. And I turned to her, or she towards me, and she sort of put her hand on my shoulder and started sort of like pushing me down in the chair, like, don't stand up, don't stand up. You know, one of those sort of, it wasn't so much like a grandmotherly thing as sort of a don't stand up sort of a thing.
do you felt like you were ready to stand up and some sort of?
Well, there's always a possibility when you turn your bar stool that you might stand up and be cordial. And she didn't want that. But she did recognize me, you know, charming and handsome dude that I am. She said, oh, you're Crudy. And she says, I know you. You know, basically, I know you.
I know. Your reputation precedes you, Michael.
Apparently it does with some. And she was still smiling, sort of a fake smile of sorts, Dom. And then her husband came over and she said, is everything going okay? You know, what's going on? Because she's still patting me down, like, stay. And she says to her husband, oh, no, we're just talking politics. You know, Dom, it's never personal. It's only politics. So, anyways, that was my little brush with former Justice Patience Rogensack. And, you know, it sort of warmed my cockles to know she knows me. She knows. So, anyways.
If I may, Your Honor, cross-examination, were you actually talking politics?
I would have been polite.
But you didn't. Like, politics didn't come up. I mean, you're the political guy, so I mean, you know, perhaps that was a thing. But I mean, if she was under cross-examination, or you, Crudy, under oath, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Crudy, did you talk any politics with the former justice?
Not specifically, but by her role...
Yeah,
I didn't feel it was necessary to contradict her. You know what she tells.
It's just, you know, it's interesting way to look at it when you say, "Hey, we're just, you know, like if you see a professional ball player said, we're just talking ball. Did you talk ball? No, but you know, this is the guy. If I was going to talk ball, that'd be the guy I'm talking to. It just seems like, you know, strange to me. But
it is a strange observation you make of my story. Your takeaway is, you didn't actually talk politics. You just acknowledged her presence. It's truly all I did. I didn't actually talk politics.
But you can't even acknowledge presence without getting political, Crudy. Even to those who you don't speak politics with.
I think my mere presence at the bar with her, down the bar, yeah. I think she knew at some point she would become a tidbit of a story that I would someday tell on the greatest radio show ever. And now you've heard it for a second time, Dom.
All right.
Hope I never have to tell it again. But anyways, we learned today.
Today?
That my down the bar Pat, down the bar Pat, let's just call her that. Pat for short. We know that she was also advising on this, Dom. We learned this today as well. I'm not sure if it's contained in the body of this work, but I learned that from the fine reporting today that I've read on this topic. But you said to me, well, Patience Rogensack, I never called her Justice, that she effectively is not down for the impeachment. She, like Prosser, we call him the choker, is not down for the impeachment. And I say, well, that's not contained in the writing here. I would conjecture that my dining down the bar, Pat, patience if you must.
Yeah.
In fact, would be down for this because I think she's a whatever it takes sort of a justice or was in her own regard because she was one of the three willing to take up Trump's arguments to throw out 200,000 absentee ballots and perhaps overturn the outcome, the will of Wisconsin voters. Let's not forget Hagedorn joined the liberals. Rogensack was down for it. My girl, Pat.
Let's see, Crudy, a little bit more of the reporting. We'll get back to this on the other side of the break, 844-967-2789. According to documents obtained by American Oversight and released on Tuesday, Prosser advised Voss that impeaching Protasiewicz would be viewed as unreasonable partisan politics. What? I mean, what does Voss do that would not be viewed as unreasonable partisan politics, I ask? Reporting continues. Some Republicans have pushed to impeach Protasiewicz if she did not step aside from a case challenging the state's legislative maps, arguing comments she made in the campaign trail prejudiced her on the redistricting. She declined to do so in a ruling on Friday, the same day the state Supreme Court announced it would hear the challenge to the legislative districts. Voss did not mention the possibility of impeachment in a Monday statement under the state constitution. Official can be impeached only for, quote, corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors. Prosser said he had no evidence that Protasiewicz's conduct fell into either category and said that corrupt conduct should not be open to a mere political grievance, lest legislators embark on questionable impeachments with considerable frequency. To sum up my views, here's what Prosser said, there should be no effort to impeach Justice Protasiewicz on anything we now know. Impeachment is so serious, severe, and rare that it should not be considered unless the subject has committed a crime or the subject has committed indisputable corrupt conduct while in office.
Like choking somebody, something like that?
Yeah, I mean,
would
think
that qualify?
I don't know. I mean, corrupt conduct, it's bad conduct. I don't know about it being corrupt. But yeah, that's Prosser. That's the Republican choker Prosser telling Voss, wow, Voss, you're being way too partisan on this.
But I'm not clear that Patience Rogensack's not on Voss's side. And we don't know who the third former justice is. So as far as you know, he's got two yeses and a Prosser, a choker, easily dismissed. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Chokers, they choke.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
The 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard will join us at the bottom of the hour.
Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader. Just so you don't think Mitch McConnell's showing up at 4:30. I know you
the
said.
Turtle.
You said. The Jordan Love Boat. Damn. I got to tell you. I enjoyed myself at the concert last night with Mrs. Crudy. And I did embarrass her at one moment, at least during the evening, yeah. As it was her birthday observed. And, you know, it was a smaller, intimate venue. And I had never seen this Amos Lee guy, but he was damn good. I got to tell you, best concert I saw all year. And we were kind of up front and I was kind of doing the white guy dance a little bit, something. When my wife demonstrated, she said it was sort of the side to the head, you know, sort of the Night at the Roxbury thing I had going on. Yeah. And at some point she became a little mortified, you know, because what's the thing? Dance like nobody's looking at you. But with this big melon head in the front row, literally everybody could see me. And she was not proud.
Good story, Mike.
Well, that was the great part of the list. Evening.
How many times has your wife not been proud of you, Curdy? Was that just the first time?
Oh, yeah. Far from the 21 years, dude. Far, far, far from the first time that I have embarrass Mrs. Scrutty, but happy birthday, hon. And I hope she had a great birthday. And then I dragged her into a sports bar. And one other thing I'd point out, we were at the Pablo Center and the artist came out and he said, the Pablo Center or the Paul Center. You know what I mean? Like it was sort of dry humor. I thought it was funny, but we went to this beautiful venue, the Pablo Center in Eau Claire. And I told you, I bought a round of drinks, you know, just the wife and I, and a couple of snacks, $21. I came back for many more. I knowing that effectively that was like three drinks and a couple of snacks, $21, man, that is a value. If you're going to the Pablo Center, tell them Crudy said shouldn't have to, because it is a drinking value. But then I had to hustle off to a sports bar and see the end of the Packer game last night. And I was hopeful. You and I have sort of a standing thing going here. And you apparently are keeping score of such a thing. But at the end, the only thing I really saw was the fourth quarter drive when, you know, you're hopeful and you think, oh man, the Packers, they're about to score. They're about to go ahead. They're about to win this game. And Love threw his third interception of the game. No touchdowns last night. He's got a passer rating in the month of October of under 33.
Oh, damn.
That can't be good. That cannot be good.
It's higher than Aaron Rodgers.
It might be too soon. It might be.
But that's tough. Tough to win game. Well, and that's something. Even at that point, Crew, there was still hope in the air, man. I mean, they're still down. If they scored a touchdown, they would have won the game.
I know. But they didn't.
No, they didn't.
And it was deflating. And now, you know, I owe you. And oh, man. And I've got this boat I've named after the guy. You know, so I got a vested interest in how this season goes. Not just, you know, with you, but also, you know, sort of bragging rights. I get in the Jordan Love boat. I got to get her in the water at least one more time this year, Dom.
You're running out of time, man.
Well, a couple more interceptions. If he's in Fields territory, if his stat line starts looking like the Chicago Bears quarterback, I might have to, you know, there's a little plug in the back of the boat. I might have to roll her off the ramp, the plug out.
Just send her out to sea, put some gasoline, have some, you know, flaming arrows to shoot at it like the old Vikings, and they love you, baby.
It's fiberglass. I'm less clear what the outcome.
No, it's just totally fine. It works. It's fine. Let's just try it. It'll be great, man. It's a really, really pretty colors when it burns.
I tell you what, Dom. I'll put you in the fiberglass boat someday for your funeral tier, whatever they call it.
My funeral pyre.
Hopefully I'll be at yours and you won't be at mine.
Hopefully they're not at the same time.
But anyways, I'll put you in a fiberglass boat to burn, because they'll never forget that smell.
Oh, poor Packers. Tough beginning of the season. But the good news is my Lions are looking really strong.
Yeah, that's not great news either. We're in the same division. We're under 500. I think the Packers are going to a bye week, right? And the Brewers were out of the playoffs in 27 hours, felt like 27 minutes. And, you know, so I got like the Badgers. We play Iowa this weekend. I'm looking forward
Bucks
to that game.
6, baby. I told you it's basketball season.
The preseason has begun across the Civic Media Network, 6 different markets, but I'm not thinking that hard. I had a few too many last night, Dom. So
yes.
I'm not going to try to pull out of the recesses of my brain or anywhere else, all the different places where you can listen to Bucks basketball, but let's just say it's 6 of them. Dom, the Jordan Love boat, it's still floating on the right side for now. My fear is if I did set it on fire, it would float back to me and it would burn down my pier, maybe my house, or it would float over to the neighbors. And you know, because I publicly said it's my boat, right? Everyone, oh, that's that ugly green and yellow boat. That's Crudy's love boat. So anyways, Melissa Agard, it'll take a better tone. I can tell the show's going to get better right now, Don, with the addition of a fine guest. We're going to do some adulting now. We've got the Senate Minority Leader from the great state of Wisconsin. She's Melissa Agard. Stick around. I'm sure you will.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
American woman. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Dom, it's getting better right now. We got a fine guest who joins us. She is State Senator Melissa Agard, friend of ours, the minority leader, a Democrat. Welcome back, Melissa.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for joining us.
And I know you use that term loosely around here, but we appreciate you doing so. Melissa, let's start with the advice of apparently former Justice Prosser to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Probably no there for the impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz. No crime, no corruption. Don't do it. Melissa, do you think it's the last we've heard of impeachment talk from the Assembly?
Well, you know, I have to check and see if this is an alternative reality where there's a day where I actually agree with David Prosser. But he did make the right call here, and I hope that Speaker Voss is listening to him. Impeachment is not something to throw around lightly. I think that he was right on the money that if you disagree with someone, if we have partisans starting to threaten each other with impeachment simply because of political disagreements, that is not good for democracy. That's not good for Wisconsin. Despite that being said, I never say never in Wisconsin because it's a pretty crazy time in our state. And as soon as you think it's not going to get crazier, it certainly does.
And Melissa, there has been a Senate vote. You serve in the state Senate. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, well, they have pulled some sort of shenanigans to my opinion, malarkey, perhaps, use your own adjective here, some we can't use on the radio. But anyways, they've tried to pull her nomination forward, despite the fact that her nomination is not valid. There wasn't a proper quorum. But we've already seen this vote, and we know that Robin Voss has threatened to impeach her as well, but apparently he's just going to wait and see how the lawsuits go. Melissa, as the minority leader, what do you think there are any boundaries from your colleagues across the aisle to what they may consider?
Well, we know in Wisconsin that our elections are safe and secure and they're fair. And in fact, over the last decade, we've moved in the wrong direction, making it harder for people to vote instead of removing barriers for people to legally vote in the state of Wisconsin. And that is not good for foundational democracy. Megan Wolf is revered by her colleagues across the nation for being able to hold it together in Wisconsin, being able to support our election officials and our clerks and our volunteers across the state in red communities and blue communities during a pandemic and a very heightened election with our previous president on the ballot, throwing his partisan jabs at it. And she rose above the fray. It is a very studied election. And in fact, all the members of the Assembly and half the members of the Senate were on the ballot at the same time, and no one is questioning the validity of their elections. The fact that Republicans and the legislature continue to beat this drum and feeding election deniers their chum so that they can stir their base up, frankly, is frightening. It should frighten everyone, regardless of who it is that you vote for at the top of the ticket. And we need to continue doing everything that we can in Wisconsin, standing up to ensure that we are a beacon of safe, secure, and fair elections. And, you know, I'm grateful for Megan and her work there. And I know that there are election officials of all sorts of political flavors that feel the same way. It's unfortunate in the Capitol building that's not happening.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Wisconsin State Senator Melissa Agar. She is the Senate Minority Leader and a friend of ours. We appreciate you coming around, Melissa. Transparency seems to be a problem with some of these Republicans. And you know, we refer to this Prosser recommendation to Voss. Apparently, there's some other justices or former justices that are also advising. But for this to come out, American Oversight's asking for open records and trying to get a hold of us. And this is the same trend we've seen from Robin Voss with the Gableman and other issues going back. What is it about the transparency? It doesn't seem to me that if you're going to have this kind of very important impeachment process, if you're very concerned about corruption at the highest levels of the Wisconsin judiciary, that this is something you would have an open committee hearing on, Melissa. What's your sense on why or how or what is the point of the, you know, behind closed doors? What's the problem with transparency?
Well, I can't answer the problem with transparency from their perspective. And frankly, it would scare me if I crawled into their minds and tried to find their answers.
All right.
But, you know, I am a strong advocate and have a proven track record of trying to create more transparency in government at all levels. And, you know, we all have people who we call and we ask advice on, but for Speaker Voss and his role of this very powerful role as the Speaker of the State Assembly here in the state of Wisconsin to call on former Supreme Court justices and not say who they are and ask them for their opinions and, you know, toot his horn and thinking that adds validity to the questions that he's asking, that, you know, these people have these titles that they have held previously, but not sharing who they are and exactly what it is that he is asking for from them. How can we trust him? How do we go forward and how can we trust that he's going to be making decisions in the best interest of people in Wisconsin? Frankly, Robin Voss has a history of backroom deals and putting the needs of his wealthy and well-connected cronies before the needs of the good people of the state of Wisconsin. And frankly, the bosses of the legislature are the good people of the state of Wisconsin. They should be able to see and know that our government is working on their behalf, as is written on the ceiling of the governor's conference room. The will of the people shall be the law of the land. Robin needs to check in with who his actual bosses are.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest. She is Melissa Agar, state senator, our friend. Melissa, I don't think there is a lot of accountability from these Republicans to their constituents. And I don't want to argue about gerrymandering. I think we're on the same side. But some of the legislative pieces that they have rolled out, and currently there are some anti-transitioning legislative pieces, anti-transitioning sexually for minors. And it is despite and counter to what the medical professionals say. Of course, we've got the same situation in place with an 1849 reproductive ban, or pardon me, abortion ban. Although that's arguable, whether it's valid, it is completely contrary to what medical professionals would seek to allow for their patients. So here's my question. Why would we believe any of these Republicans are doing what's in the best interest of their constituents when they don't regard medical professionals? And they do exactly what's contrary to what they're being told.
You know, absolutely. You know, I think it is, as you point out, important for us to honor people who are professionals in the fields that they are. So honoring doctors to make the best decisions for their patients, honoring professionally educated teachers to be able to make the best decisions in classrooms with our kids. Those, you know, people go to school, they become smart. They decide that they're going to serve the greater good of their communities as they move forward. And to know that there is a small number of legislators who have an immense amount of power in their hands and think they can usurp science and facts and real information, frankly, is destroying democracy in Wisconsin. And as you point out, I mean, fundamentally, we need to make sure that we do have fair maps so that the people are actually choosing their elected officials as opposed to elected officials cherry picking who it is that they want to represent, so that they can continue moving forward with their political ideologies as opposed to moving forward with what is best for the people of the state of Wisconsin. We've seen, despite the fact that we are providing abortion services in Wisconsin again, we've seen abortion bills coming through the legislature again, restrict, you know, Republicans introduced and going through committee and voting on, likely to come to the floor, again, restricting women's abilities to make very important private and personal healthcare decisions for themselves. We know that in the state assembly, there were three pieces of legislation that were moving through different committees last week, attacking trans kids and trans folks in the state of Wisconsin, frankly, harming these people in both of these situations, whether it's abortion bills or the trans healthcare attack legislation. Governor Evers is going to veto that, and the Republicans know it. And what we have is Republicans who are virtue signaling to their base so that they can continue to stir them up, even though they know that these things are never going to become law. And frankly, they should not become law because science and facts matter and people's lives matter.
Melissa, I want to ask about one of your constituents in the state Senate, a gentleman named Corey Tomchick. He has been involved in a lawsuit with the Wausau Pilot and Review, apparently taking umbrage with the fact that they reported that he, prior to being a Wisconsin state senator, used a homophobic slur toward a 13-year-old boy at a local government meeting in Marathon County. Seemingly, this man has some resources. He's seeming to sue the hell out of this little organization. And as mentioned, you know, tearing democracy apart, what we need are local reporters. We need local media. We need newspapers and radio, all that are addressed and able to tap into what's going on in the local market. And this kind of action certainly would seem to deaden that ability to do so. My understanding, according to the Cap Times, you and Rep. Jimmy Anderson have proposed some slap laws. I want to get your sense on why you think this is necessary and what you're hoping to accomplish and where we stand with this bill.
A free, fair press is fundamental to a good democracy and, frankly, to a civilized society. It's protected in our First Amendment in the United States Constitution. And to think that there are people who are well-connected, as Senator Tomchick is, and who have power and money, thinking that they can come in and squelch the voices of the press, investigative reporting, and bullying them out of telling the truths within their communities is not good for anyone. He didn't like what they said. He was embarrassed by what came out of his mouth. He realized it was wrong, but he's not backing down. And instead of apologizing, what he's doing is doubling down and trying to silence the press and put them out of business. We don't move forward with that. We need truth tellers in society. We need people to understand the differences between the different viewpoints and who it is that they should be supporting to make sure that their values are adequately being represented in our government.
Melissa, how would this legislative piece define a slap lawsuit? What, for dumb guys like me, what's that mean?
Well, we would be able to, person who is, you know, the journalist, in this case, it's a blog type, situation. They have reported on a story, and what we have is Corey Tomchick saying that is not true. I didn't say that. You weren't there in the room. Well, y'all are reporters. You tell stories all the time. You don't need to be in the room in order to tell a story or to tell a truth. And it has been proven that they did do due diligence, but he is continuing to sue it into higher and higher courts. And what this would allow is for a final decision to be made, and it wouldn't be able to go any further. What Corey Tomchick is doing is very similar to what Donald Trump has done with media at the national level, and trying to silence the voices of those reporters. And this anti-slap legislation would prevent that from happening. It would make sure that our reporters can tell the truth to their listeners and to their readers
SLAP meaning strategic lawsuits against public participation. And according to the Cap Times, 33 states and Washington, D.C. have anti-SLAP laws on the books. Wisconsin, not yet one of them. Melissa, what's the response been from the Republicans across the aisle on this particular piece of legislation?
Well, as you can imagine, I don't know if you have a sound effect that sounds like crickets, but right now would be the time that you should play it. All right.
Minority Leader State Senator Melissa Agard, friend of the Devil's Advocates. There are so many reasons why I'm glad that you represent us. Thanks for coming around, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We'll open up the phone lines and talk about a local UW alumni who's turned bad. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Join us anytime at 844-967-2789 or just download the Civic Media app. You can click on a button and it'll automatically text or call at your convenience.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one. She was Melissa Agard. And she's a friend of ours, state senator, minority leader for the Democratic Party in the state Senate. And I asked for the Badger theme music. You know, when you say Wisconsin, you've said it all, fella. But there's one alumni, and I was at the homecoming game on Saturday with my sons. And I was looking for one letter winner, one man out there on the field. And I didn't see him. He was conspicuous in his absence, but he was a great athlete at UW, a wrestler, but it's been all downhill since then. John Nichols, our pal over at the Cap Times, writes, Jim Jordan is proof that UW can graduate right-wing zealots.
See?
Conservatives have been claiming for decades that the University of Wisconsin-Madison is brainwashing young people to make them liberals. The problem with that claim is some of the most right-wing figures in American politics are UW grads. Just look at Republican Donald Trump tapped as his choice to serve as Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, the Ohio Republican who got Trump's blessing, blessing in the race to replace ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, graduated from UW in 1986 with a degree in economics and a record as a two-time NCAA Division I wrestling champion for the school. His later career as an Ohio State wrestling coach, who allegedly failed to report sexual abuse, remains the subject of ongoing controversy. Not only did he fail to report it, he begged people to shut up about it because he wanted to run for Congress. So Jordan's a Badger, but he's no liberal. Just ask Liz Cheney, the former House Republican Conference Chair, who lost her seat in a 2022 Wyoming Republican primary after rejecting Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential. Like her father, former VP Dick Cheney, hated that guy. Liz Cheney is an old school social conservative and foreign policy hawk. But as everyone knows, she broke with Trump in 2021 and became one of the sharpest critics of the Trump-aligned faction of extreme right-wingers that now dominates the party of Lincoln. And Cheney places Jordan squarely in the extremist camp, where House Republicans, to make him speaker, Cheney argued in an October 4th speech at the University of Minnesota, it would be an ominous development for her party and the country. Here's her quote, if they were to decide that Jim Jordan should be Speaker of the House, she warned, there would be no longer be any possible way to argue that a group of elected Republicans could be counted on to defend the Constitution.
Ouch. John Nichols writes further. In reality, the notion that elected Republicans are inclined as a group to defend the Constitution went out the window long ago. Cheney was a part of the problem when she chaired the House Republican Conference and served as one of the most hawkish members of a chamber that regularly rejected its constitutional duty to check and balance presidential war-making and abuses of civil liberties. Cheney actually voted with Trump on a slightly more frequent basis than Jordan, though notably the paper trail of Jordan's rival in the speakership race, Louisiana Rep. Steve Scalise, was slightly more favorable to Trump. What Trump has always liked about Jordan is the Ohioan's bombastic approach to politics. As a founding member of the right-wing House Freedom Caucus, Jordan was once dismissed as a political terrorist by former House Speaker John Boehner. I never saw a guy who spent more time tearing things apart, never building anything, never putting anything together, said Boehner. Cheney's specific concerns about Jordan are rooted in the bitter experiences of her final term in the House when she and a handful of other Republicans tried to hold the former president to account for his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, which he lost to Democrat Joe Biden. Yes, Trump lost, people! Both Jordan and Scalia were on the wrong side of that fight, but Cheney, the former co-chair of the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol, argues, quote, Jim Jordan knew more about what Donald Trump had planned for January 6th than any other member of the House of Representatives. Jim Jordan was involved, was part of the conspiracy in which Donald Trump was engaged as he attempted to overturn the election. Jordan, who was also involved, that he reportedly discussed the prospect, was so involved, he was so involved, Crudy, he reportedly discussed the prospect of Trump issuing preemptive pardons to former president congressional allies. The congressman went on to become one of Trump's most ardent defenders during his second impeachment in 2021. That gave Cheney plenty of reason to oppose Jordan, and it gave Trump just as many reasons to support him. So it came as no surprise within hours of Cheney's warning, Trump rejected overtures from House allies who wanted him to seek the speakership and endorsed Jordan's bid. Quote, he will be a great speaker of the House, declared Trump, adding, he is strong on crime, borders, our military, and vets, and Second Amendment, unquote. The choice between Scalise and Jordan was never going to be an ideological one. To the former president's view, it was a loyalty test, and Jordan's biggest selling point was that he was stronger on Trump than any top Republican in the House. Jordan abused his authority as Judiciary Committee chair so egregiously that attorneys for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg alleged that he had engaged in a campaign of intimidation, retaliation, and obstruction in order to undermine efforts to prosecute Trump, who currently faces 91 criminal indictments and in a number of jurisdictions. And of course, Jordan has been leading the effort to impeach Trump's likely opponent in the 2024 presidential race, President Joe Biden, on charges so spurious that constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley, a frequent GOP witness on issues related to presidential accountability, told the House Oversight Committee he did not believe the current evidence would support articles of impeachment. If Jordan prevails in a speakership bid, the impeachment inquiry will likely proceed more aggressively than it had under McCarthy, who faced criticism from conservatives for his hesitancy regarding the initiative. Even if Jordan were to get the House to vote to impeach Biden, which is not guaranteed, the prospects for a conviction in the Democratic Senate would be slim. But it's worth noting that Jordan's bid for the speakership raised the prospect that a UW economics grad could not just could be not just the most powerful Republican in Washington, but second in line of the presidential succession after Vice President Kamala Harris. Wow, what a thought. John Nichols at the Cap Times reporting.
Well, Wanker, the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, says, you know, they're indoctrinating the kids. Is that what they did to the Jim Jordan? Did he get indoctrinated at the UW? You know, I'm proud of the grads. I'm proud of the alums. Less so this one. This guy. This guy has put a stain on the entire Badger Nation. I hate to say it. But, you know, technically, I'm just a fan. You and I are UWL alums.
Yeah, go lacrosse, screaming Eagles, baby. Ah!
As mentioned, they did beat Whitewater this weekend. So all the Whitewater grads, you know, suck it. Sorry. come back with us, a happier happy hour indeed, the Tuesday edition, and you can be a part. All you gotta do is dial the phone 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates When you say Devils, you've said it all.